Hello and welcome to my as yet unnamed weekly podcast on what's going on in the world of medicine. My name is Bianca O'Grady and I'm a freelance science and medical journalist in Australia. First up today, Australian researchers have shed new light on the controversial subject of PSA testing for prostate cancer, with a study suggesting the introduction of PSA testing in Australia in 1988 was associated with a drop in prostate cancer mortality and a near halving of the recorded rate of advanced prostate cancer at diagnosis. The study in the Medical Journal of Australia also showed a substantial increase in prostate cancer incidence, particularly among younger men. Between 1989 and 1994, the incidence more than doubled and has fluctuated since then. The data reflects similar trends observed in other countries since the introduction of PSA testing. However, the authors also suggested that some of the trends might be attributable to improvements in treatment options. The chlamydia epidemic was squarely in the spotlight this week thanks to several presentations at the Australasian Sexual Health Conference in Perth. One researcher has called for increased testing of young people for chlamydia, as data shows that 5% of Australians under the age of 25 are now thought to be infected. Chlamydia is also the leading notifiable disease in Australia. Meanwhile, the ABC Science Online reports that Australian researchers have modelled the potential effects of chlamydia vaccines and found that while a 100% protective vaccine could wipe out the disease within 15 to 20 years, a less effective vaccine could still be extremely effective at containing the epidemic. A vaccine that was less protective but shortened the duration of infection or reduced transmission risk could still wipe out chlamydia but in a longer time frame. A chlamydia vaccine has not yet been developed, but several candidates are in the animal trial stage. Adding yet more weight to an already impressive collection of data, the British Medical Journal has published data showing that lifestyle factors such as smoking, obesity, and lack of exercise play a major role in morbidity and death. Researchers from the Nurses' Health Study examined the relative risk of death associated with five key lifestyle factors: cigarette smoking, being overweight, moderate to vigorous physical activity, no light to moderate alcohol intake, and a low diet quality score, and showed that each lifestyle factor independently and significantly predicted mortality. Each factor alone more than tripled the risk of death from cancer, and the associated risk of heart disease was more than 8 times higher. Researchers reported that more than half the deaths observed during the 24-year study were attributable to the combination of smoking, being overweight, a lack of physical activity, and low diet quality. The annual meeting of the American Society for Therapeutic Radiology and Oncology has heard that acupuncture is as good as conventional drug therapy in reducing the side effects of breast cancer treatment, which include hot flashes, excess sweating, and night sweats. These side effects are most commonly treated with SSRI antidepressants. However, these medications come with their own side effects and many women are reluctant to take them. The randomised control trial found acupuncture therapy was as effective as treatment with the SSRI venlafaxine in reducing hot flashes, and many women who received acupuncture also reported an additional increase in well-being, energy and libido compared to women receiving the SSRI. And finally, from the New England Journal of Medicine, a study suggested that vaccinating pregnant women against influenza confers some immunity to the newborn as well. Researchers found the babies of mothers vaccinated during pregnancy against influenza, compared to the babies of mothers vaccinated with the pneumococcal vaccine, were 63% less likely to develop influenza during their first 6 months of life. The vaccination program effectively avoided one-third of fever-related illness in both mothers and babies, prompting researchers to suggest the development of a preventive influenza vaccination strategy for mothers and newborns.